Hello, I'm delighted today to be able to introduce this guest we've got, Nicola Broomham. She runs Broomham Recruitment, which specialises in the estate agency sector. I say specialises in that sector, but really what she does in terms of looking after her staff and just treating people the right way, there's a great lesson in what she does for all of us. So sit back and enjoy this chat with the lovely Nicola Broomham. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Business for Good podcast with me, Jerry Lyons. I'm genuinely delighted today because I'm feeling relaxed for two reasons. I've just had a run and I'm about to speak to a friend called Nicola Broomham, who runs a marvellous recruitment company called Broomham Recruitment. It's award-winning. That's one thing. But the stuff they do for people is fantastic. And they kind of, for me, they're almost reinventing what a recruitment company looks like. So by doing that, they're reinventing what companies can look like. So Nicola, how the devil are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me, Jerry. I really appreciate being here, actually, and actually having the opportunity to talk about all this stuff, because it's I'm really passionate about all of this. So it's nice. Thank you.
See, this is what I love. Because you're so passionate about it, and I know I follow you on social media, I see all your posts about looking after people and doing the right thing. I know it's just going to be a matter of me saying, Nicola, tell me what you guys do. I'm just going to wind you up and let you go.
Really? Okay, fine. That's cool. Okay, so we are a recruitment business and we recruit in the estate agency sector, as you know. But that's just like a tiny bit of what I think makes Broomham great, which is kind of what you've alluded to anyway. So as it currently stands, we are a team of six. So I've got people that have been with me from day one, Will and Jake, and then we've got someone that's just joined us this week, Annabelle. And then we've got Jake and Joan that have joined in between. Now, I love my team. I really love my team. I'm completely of the awareness that without my team, I have nothing. So all I have behind that is just little old me, and Broomham Recruitment wouldn't be where it is and have done and been as successful as it is without my guys. And because of that, I look after them, or at least I try to, or I think I do, and I hope they would say the same. And looking after them for me involves lots and lots of different things. So one of our core values as a business is that we listen, and that means we listen to our clients, our job seekers, and more importantly, each other. So, for example, we have a very transparent workplace. The guys can see the banking figures. They can look at the bank account whenever they want, genuinely.
How does that work out?
Everyone knows what everyone gets paid.
Okay.
There is full disclosure. Everyone knows what everyone gets paid. Everyone knows what everyone's commission is. Everyone can see each other's figures.
Where did you get this idea from?
I just always did it this way. Very early on when I had Will and Jake that joined me, I wanted them to understand some of the pressures that we were under in terms of operational costs and things like that. And I wanted to explain to them that, you know, we need to hit X amount every month just to wash our own face. Mm-hmm. And that by doing so, it makes everybody accountable. I think I wanted them to understand that I've genuinely earned 12 grand in the last year. And everyone's going, oh, yeah, paid yourself loads of dividends. I've taken, I think, two little dividends in the last year. And other than that, everything else has stayed in the business because I want to grow it. I want to build it and I want to invest in it, which is what I'm doing. And the guys know that. And we're very transparent. Every quarter we sit down and we go through, you know, what have we done this month? Where are we at? What's profit looking like? All of those different things, so that everyone feels that they have an involvement as well in the outcome of the business. So those sorts of things, but also everyone is encouraged to have a voice. So for want of a better phrase of, you know, it's a bit of a safe space. Genuinely, we sit down and go, right, let's brainstorm. Who's got ideas on this? Who's got ideas on that? Nobody, there's no sort of hierarchy. We have quite a flat hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And even though Jake Rayner is head of recruitment and Jake Holt is head of operations. Trust me, having two people both named Jake in both in two roles is an absolute nightmare. But they're both the head of those things. What that doesn't actually mean that anybody is sort of underneath them. It just means that when it comes to the outside perception, there's somebody they can escalate to, not necessarily as an internal thing. So all of that sort of transparency is really important for us, and being able to share ideas and talk. But the other thing that's really important is their well-being. So
you're massive on that. I see that on social media. You seem really, and I know it's genuine because you're a genuine person, and you've touched on it there. You look after your staff. I know you've said that there, but I could vouch for that with the stuff I see. But please tell us what sort of things you do, Nicola.
So, well, one of the really obvious things we do is holiday. So we have, the guys have anywhere between 34 and 35 days holiday a year.
That's a lot. What's the industry standard?
20 days plus bank holidays. So ours is 34 to 35, including bank holidays. So
what's the thinking behind that?
Because they work flipping hard. They work seriously hard. The way that their week and their days are structured is that they work a 40-hour week, and it has to be spread over 5 days. How they structure that is completely down to them. Recruitment is really hard. It requires us to sometimes take calls at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock at night, sometimes 10 o'clock at night. And the knock-on effect of that is that they can end up doing 12, 14-hour days if we're not careful. So every day I encourage them to go, right, go to the gym at lunchtime. Go take your dog out, get out of the office. Every morning meeting, I say to the guys afterwards, right, make sure you get out of the office for at least an hour every day today. Make sure you go.
So important.
Otherwise, you just burn out. So for me, we shut between Christmas and New Year. We're completely shut then. I don't want anybody in the office. That is our switch down and switch off wind down time. And part of the problem that we've had is that because we work on a commission basis, and because our industry moves really, really quickly, the guys have been quite reluctant to take holiday. Like last year, Jake in particular, I think hardly took any holiday, despite working all through lockdown as well. And I have to encourage them to do it. I have to encourage them to take time off. And this job can be hard. And I would much rather that, like Joan, right, lives in Cornwall. He lives by the sea in Cornwall. He's got a paddle board. He loves going to the gym. All of those stuff. And I would rather he worked, I don't know, 8 till 1, 2 o'clock, got hold of people on their lunch break, took a few hours out in the afternoon, and then was available when he needs to get people on the way home. It makes him more productive. It gives him work-life balance, all of that sort of stuff. So they're grown-ups. That's the thing. They can manage their own time and their own day. And I'm not a clock watcher. I don't count how many days holiday they take. I don't count how many hours they work. They know they get their birthday off, they get their 20 days, they get plus bank holidays, plus we close at Christmas. And do you know what? They probably take more. They probably take less than that. But if they wanted to book an extra few days because they run out of holiday, I'm never going to turn around and say no.
Yeah. Did you ever worry that people might take advantage of that? Or is that down to staff recruitment being good in the first place because you're a recruitment company?
You'd think so, although I've made many a mistake with my own recruitment over the last year. I've got to be honest with that. But, I think it's a cultural thing. I think we all take responsibility, and it comes down to that transparency piece. Yeah. The guys know what's needed of them. We're not a KPI business. That's the other thing. I don't actually monitor how many interviews they book. I don't monitor how many CVs they send. None of that. The only KPI that we actually have is how many placements they make within a year. Yeah. So they've all got a target that they need to hit within a year. And obviously every month we look at those and where are you at on that. But that's the only KPI we have, which in recruitment is quite unusual as well.
Because like you said there, you're touching on recruitment, and it's like I said to you off air, whenever I've had dealings with recruitment companies in the past, it's not much to be fair, but I've always found them a bit pushy, a bit, this is going back in the day when it was newspapers, and you'd advertise a job and somebody would ring up from an agency and say, oh, why don't you we've got the perfect person for this job. And I've been with agencies before, and they'd send me to a job. I thought, why have you sent me here? I've got no interest in this job. I should have really looked into it myself, in fairness. I've just turned up. So a bit of it is down to me. But you guys are like the polar opposite of the perception I've got of recruitment companies. And when I said about award winning, you won that award last year for the, was it EA Masters, which is, for people that are listening to this, not in the estate agency industry, it's a big award. It's a big award, do you know what I mean, for estate agency suppliers. What's made you sort of look at recruitment? And what I love, and there's quite a few guests that have come on, they've looked at their industry from a different perspective and said, now, you know what, we're going to do things differently, whether it's sustainability or zero waste or community involvement. And you seem to have looked at a people business from a totally different perspective and gone, now, you know what, we're going to do everything differently. Like you said there with the KPI. So, I mean, where did all the ideas come from? What's your background? Because your background's in a state agency, right?
Yeah. So my background's in agency. So I've worked corporates. I've worked independents. I've been the person doing the hiring, and I've had to deal with recruitment consultants and recruitment agencies. And I've also worked for other recruitment agencies before I set up Brewman. And I just felt that there was a lot of, I felt that quite often in recruitment, and this is from being an estate agent and dealing with recruiters, is there's not a lot of ethics at times. And there's a lot of shit flinging. Am I allowed to swear on here?
You're talking to me now.
Oh, fine. Okay, just checking.
What do you reckon?
just checking. You might have to edit that out. No, there's a lot of shit flinging. There's a lot of spec CVs being sent left, right, and centre. Speculatively, that sending stuff going. Yeah. Have you got a? I've got a great candidate for you. We have an A1 candidate looking for a role in a company like yours. We used to get those emails all the time, and I pretty much tried to think back to my days of recruiting and all the things that really pissed me off and try and do the opposite.
Brilliant. And I love that.
What that's done is that's created, it's created a business where we probably only send 2 or 3 CVs. We certainly don't send shed loads. We only contact people that we genuinely feel that we can actually help and assist rather than just phoning all and sundry. Which is where the whole recruiters never call me back issue comes from.
Yeah,
there's lots of different things that we've tried to do just to make it a better process. And what I say to every single client is that I never promise to fill your role, but we'll just give it a bloody good shot.
Yeah,
and I think that's a biggie, because I think so many recruiters go, we've got a whole database of people, definitely be able to fill this for you in a couple of weeks. And then you've got a pissed off client because it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that all makes perfect sense. And that thing you were saying there earlier about the culture, I know that Seth Godin quote that a good culture beats strategy. A good culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you can have a strategy, but if you haven't got, like you said, the culture and the people in place, then, the magic's not going to happen. Also, you're big on the mental health of your team. And I know you're an advocate for mental health in our industry as well. Where does that come from?
Do you know what? This actually, I've got to admit, before I set up Brewman, my knowledge of mental health was appalling, absolutely appalling. I was very much brought up with a pull yourself together type attitude. Yeah, yeah, you'll be all right. You know, sort yourself out. We moved house, and I found myself in a completely new location with no friends, no job. Kids had gone off to school because we'd relocated and they were all sorted. Husband had started a new job. And I found myself suddenly not wanting to get out of bed in the morning and really low and really down in the dumps. And I didn't want to walk the dog. All I wanted to do was just, to be totally honest, sit and stare into space. I didn't even want to watch telly. I just did nothing. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? This is me. This is Nicola. I'm lively and vibrant and in everyone's face. What's going on? And I suddenly realized, it dawned on me that I was a bit depressed, actually. I think I was suffering from depression at the time, and I needed to do something to sort myself out. And that's actually when I got into recruitment and found a role in recruitment because I wanted to go back into agency, couldn't make it work, etc. Anyway, yeah. Ended up in recruitment. But thereafter, I suddenly became aware that actually this was a thing and it was an issue. And then when COVID hit last year and everybody started talking about being isolated and feeling low and worry and anxiety and concern, and a few of my very close friends came to me and actually just poured their heart out to me with how they were feeling. And ever since then, I've taken it really seriously because it's not something where I haven't lost anybody through to suicide or anything like that. I've just had a little tiny touch of it myself, and it really affected me just for that little bit, but more so because of seeing all of the people around me it was affecting. And because of that, I went and did a mental health first aider training course. So
what was that like? I'm looking to get one of our team to jump on that. Is it worth doing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's more just, it helps you to get your language right with it. And it helps you to, it skims over all the different aspects of mental health, but it really helps you to just understand some of it. And some of it's really shocking. And I've got to be honest, I think I did mine over Zoom over a few evenings. And the people's stories that were on that Zoom were probably more impactful in some ways than what, you know, the learning material said, because I was hearing about all sorts of horrendous situations. But there's quite a lot of role play and stuff. It's a very interactive course. I would recommend it to anybody, and I would say any business that doesn't have a mental health first aider, you need to look at doing it, because it's complicated. It's not mental health is not a simple thing to understand. It's extremely complicated, and if I'm honest, every day I'm learning about it too.
Because you're dealing with so many people as well, aren't you? With different emotions, I'd imagine you've got the estate agent wants to get their role filled, so they go, oh, come on, I need to. I'm short staffed. You've got the applicant who's got to have a job or was excited, stroke anxious, whatever, and you've got your team as well. So you've got all these emotions to deal with. With the culture of your team, then, so with the mental health part of it, what do you look for?
What, in terms of fit of my team?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we've actually recently signed up to is mental health in recruitment, being part of that sort of movement. We've signed a pledge to say that we will support our team with mental health challenges. As we touched on earlier, recruitment as a business is very, very stressful at times. The guys are dealing with, and this is probably part of the reason why I try and sort of cuddle them and look after them as much as I do and focus on their well-being, is because at times this job can be brutal. You can have somebody who that you've nurtured, looked after all the way, a bit like a sale on an estate agency, all the way through to them starting on the first day at their job, message them on Sunday evening saying, good luck tomorrow, hope all goes really, really well, really rooting for you, I'm so pleased you secured this job, and they don't turn up. And then you get the client on the phone going off at you, going, why the hell aren't they here? Da, 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 da. And it can be really hard, and you have to pick yourself up a lot. You have a tough month and you can be just leaving hundreds of voicemails. This job is tough. So one of the things that we really look for is resilience. I used the analogy the other day, you know, like in American car lots, you get those big inflatable men where they pump the air into them and they wiggle about with their arms and stuff. That's what you have to be as a recruiter. You have to be able to be knocked back constantly and back up again. You know, like what those things, weebles, they wobble, but they won't fall down. Whatever they're called. But it was what, like one of those. That's what you have to be as a recruiter. You've constantly got to be upbeat. And if you're talking to a candidate or a job seeker who has perhaps just lost their job, been made redundant, going through lots of personal challenges and issues, we've had a lot of that. You know, the business was only set up last January, so we've only ever worked in this extremely stressful environment.
It's amazing that what you've achieved in terms of profile in that short space of time, because like everyone that I know knows you, and I know a lot of people in the industry, in the estate agency industry, so you've done a remarkable job there. I mean, what would you say if to people listening and they've got a team and they think, right, because I'm a bit like you, I was always brought up, just get on with it, it's going to be fine. When it comes to mental health, you know, just dig in, man up was a phrase. It's terrible. Yeah. But I've heard that so many times as a kid in football and that sort of stuff. But people listening to this, we've got a team. How would you encourage, how could you sort of advise them or give them tips on building a positive sort of culture around mental health and basically be openness? Because it's obviously you run an open house sort of thing, the way you
we
run
do. Yeah, we absolutely do. I have one of my members of team is technically disabled. We've had to make, what we've done is we talk about it. And I think this is the biggie, is talking about it. So we all know that this person needs some extra help at times with different things and needs some extra support and needs to take time off to go and deal with things. And we, because of that, we go back to this sort of safe space idea. Everybody in the team has been asked if they want to do a mental health first aid course. We talk about it on a regular basis. So we have a mental health first aid, we have a mental health in recruitment champion within our team whose job actually over the next 6 months is to regularly talk to the whole team about mental health as a whole. Are you looking after yourselves? And, you know, discussing things that don't normally get discussed. So what we're going to do is every week we're actually going to do a quick 15 minutes FYI on mental health. So we might be talking about OCD, we might be talking about self-harm, we might be talking about whatever it may be, anxiety, all sorts of things. But we also have a couple of members of our team that have had mental health issues in the past, you know, me being one of them, with, as I talked about earlier. But we've made it so that anybody within our team can talk about how they feel. So every one-to-one, a big part of what we talk about are, how are you? And it's not just a, hiya, how are you? How's your month been, etc. It's a, right, how are you? What's going on? What are you feeling every morning when you get into the office? How are you unwinding when you get home? What are you doing to switch off? What are you doing to when this situation occurs? It's, we had a situation recently where we had a client absolutely kick off at one of my team, completely unnecessarily. I assume they'd had a bit of a bad day themselves and took it out on one of the team. And it was, I took that person to one side. I told them to go away, get out the office, go to get some fresh air, go and do whatever you need to do to kind of reset you. And it's just providing an environment where it's okay to talk about how you feel. And I think that has to come from the leader. That has to come from them to come in and go, do you know what, guys, I'm feeling a bit down in the dumps today, or I'm feeling a bit low, or I'm actually, do you know what, can we, whatever it may be, it has, you have to lead from the front. But if you don't allow a space where people feel they can talk, then they never will.
And it shows you care about them.
Yeah.
You know, just by asking that question, because I've probably been guilty of it as well when this happened to me, where people say, how are you? And they're not listening to the reply, because it's just a standard, how are you? And you go, and you see they're not listening. Oh, well, my dog just died. And it, oh, right, good. Didn't listen to me, did you? But what you're showing is by listening to them and building that team culture. Would you say, like, from a business perspective, the culture, is it helping you attract the people that you want? Because you know what you want from your team. And having this culture, is it making it easier to recruit the best people to work for Broomham Recruitment?
Do you know what? No one wants to work for us. Honestly, trying to recruit anybody to work for us is really hard, really, really hard. I mean, I've got to admit, I'm quite picky. We want resilient people. We want people that have a real growth mindset. And by that, one of the first things that we ask on an interview is what you want to do to develop yourself. So, and we've got a whole shelf. Well, we've got a whole shelf full of business books, and the guys get given homework, and the guys get told, you know, read this, come back, feedback to the group. What have you learned from it? All of those things. At the moment, I'm in the process of putting together the next year's learning packs for the team of what I want them to do.
You know what? I think your business, and struck me before when we had a chat on your podcast. I'll mention your podcast in a minute, because I think that fits in with a business for good mentality. Mm-hmm. But we'll get onto that in a minute. Is your business is almost like a university in many ways. You know, not in a good way. I'm not saying that everyone gets drunk on a Friday. I'm cheap.
Well, we do have Friday beers as well, but yeah.
But there's that sort of culture of learning and improvement. You know, it's like a good university. It's like a good sports team. Whenever I've been involved in a good team, everyone's thinking, I need to get better at my position, or I need to up my game. And you've got that. But onto your podcast. So you run a podcast called The Brewman Podcast. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about it when you said you were going to launch it is, in our industry, estate agency, it can be very white, middle-aged men who have got a few quid.
Yeah.
And like you said, I want to hear from everyone. So what was the inspiration? And I know it's been well received, but what next for the podcast as well?
So I set the podcast up because I basically got pissed off with seeing the same faces over and over again. And I wanted to give everyone a voice. The difference with the Brewman podcast is I don't invite anybody on it. Everybody comes to me to say, I'd like to come on it and talk about X. So what's resulted in that is that we've had all manner of different topics being discussed, mental health being quite a big one of them, but it's allowed people that aren't normally invited onto stuff to be able to throw their hat in the ring and discuss things. What's next for it? I don't know, really. I think at the moment I'm still booking way ahead. We've still got loads of people that want to talk about things and discuss things. If I'm totally honest, I haven't really thought about the next step of where it's going to go to. We're on about 35 episodes, I think, now. And I think it has been well received because it's a bit different.
It's 100%. And it's like you're tackling topics. I remember listening to Amy Shields, Amy from Sprift, mm-hmm. talking about anxiety and being gay and all this. And it's just so interesting to hear because it's the conversations that you wouldn't get to hear unless you really knew the person. But podcasts are funny things because people just talk as if no one's listening, where anyone can be listening.
Yeah.
It's a weird dynamic, but it seems to work. Because I'm conscious of your time. So from a business perspective, your culture around positivity and giving people a voice and listening to people, do you see that impacting positively on your bottom line? I know you're early days in the business, but it seems like you're going definitely in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that it screams about what we're about as a business. We're about personal development, self-development. We want to a happy team will always work harder. It's that simple. And for me, that involves taking them out for lunch. It involves, like, we've just implemented ecology. Jake is really hot on environmental stuff. Yeah. So we've got loads of things coming out about that.
What's that recent thing you've done on the environment, the ecology stuff? Because I saw a post about that.
Yeah, ecology. So we've just offset all of our carbon footprint as a business. Brilliant. So it's based on number of employees, and every placement we are planting more and more trees.
Fantastic. I love that.
The plan is that we become paperless within the next 12 months, entirely paperless. We're virtually there anyway, but we want to be. And it's things like you having reusable pens, reusable drink bottles, all of that stuff. We just want to do the right thing. And that sums up Brewman, is that we're always about doing the right thing. And actually, if I can do the right thing by my guys, then they will do the right thing by the people they're looking after. And it's all about creating like that pass it on idea, that being kind and passing it on. And I also know that if I would walk over hot coals for my team, and I'd like to think that because of the way that I look after them, they'd do the same for me and for the people that we work with.
Brilliant. I love that. Final question. Have you got a job for me? Could I...
We desperately need another recruiter. So if anyone wants to be part of our team, by all means, please get in touch.
And who wouldn't want to be? Who wouldn't want to be involved in a company that listens to you, makes you take quality time out? Because I think that's important. And I love that question. You said, "What are you doing to escape from the pressures of work?" I've never been asked that when I was a journalist. Like journalist, I don't know what it's like now, but journalism used to be the most high pressured, rife for bullying. You know, like in terms of bullying behavior and stuff like that, but environment. And we would never, ever get asked, how was your weekend? You get asked that. How was your weekend? Yeah. Never, how are you escaping from the pressures of work? because that itself is just great. I love the fact there's a theme that runs through a lot of your stuff, I think. And I think it's giving people a voice.
Yeah.
It seems like with your podcast and with your business and listening to the voices like your Jake's passion about ecology, listening to stuff, saying, you know what, if that's important to you, that's important to us.
Yeah.
And all that environmental stuff is important because, boy, if we don't change that soon, we're all, our kids, I know you've got three lovely kids, they're all in trouble. We might get away with it, our generation.
Completely.
But we've got to do something for their generation. Otherwise, we're failing them massively. So everything that people achieve is going to be for nothing if we don't resolve that problem. Anyway, Nicola, it's fantastic speaking with you. And we didn't even mention hair once because you've got your hair is brilliant, right? Because
no, it's all changed now.
I think it's better like boring. That.
Everybody said to me it's better like this, but I just feel a bit boring.
Because you used to have, for people that don't know, Nicola used to have this amazing, wonderful quiff. Absolutely fantastic. It was like one of those Japanese ice gem. But you know what it reminded me of in a certain way as well? I get so passionate about hair. There's a famous Japanese painting of a tsunami. Have you seen it? It's a wonderful, your hair was a bit like that. It was like that wonderful Japanese tsunami painting. But anyway, I'm just a one-trick pony. My hair just grows. It's not even good hair. So honestly, I had a skinhead about 2 weeks ago, another skinhead. Look at it now. It's marvellous.
Wow.
Grey, silver.
Many would be jealous of that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But anyway, I just love what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
If you haven't, anyone listening, if you haven't checked out the Broomman podcast, even if you're not in the property game, just check it out. There's so many. Life is about listening to other people's stories. That's where you're going to learn stuff. You can learn stuff from other people on the Broomman podcast. And just thanks very much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.